It's the Bobby Dollar Show. We back with a season three. Can you believe this?
I'm trying to touch the states this
time. We're going to have some fun, man. Hey, whole new year, whole new look.
Yeah, Sean, like a
new co-host, new artist. Hey, man, let's have some new fun.
Now I'm in the game. I was on the bench. First I was renting, now I'm collecting rent. Run it up. First it with the Beamer, now I want the Benz. Spending all the back like, here I go again. Outside says a chirp, not a camera phone. Told you I'ma make, keep the channels on. Why you acting different when the camera's on? Why you acting different like your paper long?
Hey, yo, what it do, man? We back again. It's the big homie, Bobby Dollars, and I want to welcome y'all back to another episode of the Bobby Dollars Show. Again, man, we back with the big homies again today, man. We got, I guess our special guest from last week done joined the crew and shit, big homie Gigi. And we got her big homie Mo and big homie Chubby, BG Brian Eldris.
Chubby Idris Elba.
Man, that's what, look, bro, big homie, he just came in and disappeared again. I don't know what's going on today, man, but hey, I want to welcome everybody back, man. Hey, today we're going to have another special show, man. It's going to be a good one, man. It's not going to be a long show, but it's going to be a good one. Today we're going to kind of talk a little bit and dissect that Colin Kaepernick documentary on Netflix. It was a really good one, man. Hey, did y'all watch it? Did everybody see it?
Yeah, man, I watched it, bro.
Yeah, I saw it too.
That's what's up. That's what's up, man.
To be honest, with what I got out of that whole documentary was, man, that when he was growing up, his parents were very naive, bro.
Man,
they was acting like they were lost to the whole situation of him. They act like they didn't see the racism, bro. Come on, man, you want my son to cut his hair in order for him to play baseball? Talking about he
looked
like a thug. Are you serious?
Oh, yeah, man. That hurt me, man. When just hearing a parent say that to a child, bro. But, you know, bad as I hate to say it, man, and I know I'm probably gonna get stabbed and get shanked, and it's probably niggas making shanks right now for this one. I don't really think that – I think adoption is cool. It's awesome, man. Like, give a kid a chance, man. That is the God honest truth. But I don't think there should be interracial adoption, man, because – you really missing out on the culture, you know what I'm saying, of the kids. Like you can't teach these kids their culture, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, that boy went to them people's houses and was eating food that he had never had before, never experienced before. Like, damn, man. Like, he straight eating food that he should have been eating his whole life, and he never knew. And everybody looking at him like he crazy. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. It was kind of crazy, man.
They can't relate, bro. That's the problem. That's the whole situation, man. And when you get a interracial couple, man, a couple, you know what I'm saying, adopting a black kid, man, it's only so much that they can teach their kid. They can't teach him about how we grow up or whatever, man, because you growing him up in this neighborhood. And if he would have been with his other parents or whatever, his legal parents, yeah, he'd been growing up in the black neighborhood. So there's only so much they can teach us, man. Let me teach him. And you definitely can't get that out of no damn book.
I understand where both of you guys are coming from, because I share some of the same sentiments. However, because, like, watching it in its entirety, you also realize, like, this was a family who wanted to have more children. And their anticipation to have another child, even though they were adopting, they did not, like, look for or proactively wanted a black child. They just happened to not be able to get the child that they wanted, right, because they wanted a child so bad. They ended up with Colin. So there was no research being done. I feel like when adoption agencies, when they are placing anyone outside of their race, they also want the parents to be able to do their research, you know, able to go out there and understand that, you know, like, they do have different struggles. But in this situation, it's really about ignorance. Like, if you don't know better, how would they ever be able to see something different? All they've seen is white people, and Colin happens to be, like, a lighter skin tone. So even growing up initially, like, he could have been passing, you know, as a child.
Right.
And so, like, as he gets older, you start seeing, like, different attributes that make him look more like a Black person. So now they're going through these things where they've never witnessed before. Even if they were emotionally intelligent, maybe they would be coherent. But if someone's still smiling at you and telling you an insult and you've never heard this insult before, how do you know it's an insult?
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
That makes sense. I mean, it really makes a lot of sense.
A whole lot of sense, man.
You know, I think that another interesting point that can be made is class. What about being adopted by a Black family, but they don't eat what we eat and they don't experience what we experience? When I watched the documentary, I think I could relate to a lot of things. As you all know, I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, but I didn't grow up full time in St. Louis, Missouri. I grew up in one of these foreign environments. So I think that there's, you know, we could parse this a lot of different ways and we can unpack this. That's what we're about to do. So let's talk about it.
All right. So, okay. All right. So check this out. This what I got for y'all then, man. I went through and I looked at all the episodes and I wrote down the titles so we'll know what episode is what. And then kind of wrote down a little brief overview of what it said about the episode so it could jog our memory from what we already had, you know, what we seen or whatever. We can keep a train of thought. So yeah, man, let's dive into it. You're right, Chubb. Let's do that, man. Cause my point is made simply because I feel like I don't know, man. It's like a form of inequality, if you ask me. Like there's no quality of learning if you don't understand what you're being taught, is what I'm saying. So if you are a white parent with a Black child, or a Black parent with a Chinese child, or a Mexican parent with a white child, like be a Brazilian or Jamaican or any of these different nationalities, there's a culture behind each one. Actually, it's kind of embarrassing if you ask me to grow up and become a man and you don't know nothing about who you are as an individual and what you're capable of and who your people are and the ancestry and all of that kind of stuff. You know, whether you're white, Black, Mexican, whatever, you know, you still got to have some sensibility about yourself. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. Let's get into some of the episodes, man. Let me see here. All right, so this was the documentary. So episode one was the cornrows. All right, that's when he seen Allen Iverson and he basically started to embrace his individuality and the hip hop culture. And he wanted to be like his idol. You know, he liked to play basketball and stuff. And then they got to that point to where they basically was, like you were saying, they wanted him to cut his hair and all that kind of stuff and calling him a thug and everything. I mean, how did that make y'all feel? What y'all think about that?
Do you want me to start? I don't want to cut anyone off. All right, cool. So I, again, want to go back to the idea of ignorance, because for their family, obviously they're from like Wisconsin, that they've moved here, and they still only see people that look like them all the time. And the only thing that's portrayed to them when it does come to Black people is what's shown on media. And it's usually someone with a gun and they have braids or negativity, like even, yeah, like there's no association where they've had positive interactions with anyone because it's not there. And then you have a child who now comes into your house, and although you want to support him, come into your house, yes, and you see what you see on TV as someone that's going to harm you, knowing that that will never happen, but it's already programmed in your mind that braids are association to bad Black people and they will harm you.
Yeah.
So, and I feel bad for his mom, but she tried. She definitely tried. Yeah. So shout outs to her at that moment.
Braids, locks, natural hair. That's what it is in DC. I can think of so many positive people, but on the mainstream, on the big screen, who can you associate positively with locks, with braids, and with cornrows? I asked the panel. Not because they don't exist, but who is it that comes to mind?
Yeah, it's always going to be the thugs. Actually, like the killers and the ones that sagging, got dread. Like, that's normally what you see on TV and the videos and all that.
Bob Marley.
Is that a positive association? He led the peace. He led the peace in the world. He's one of the greatest artists of all time. But I don't think it's necessarily a positive association to the main culture, right? Because he was Rasta,
right? Which is very they say it is right now, though, bro, because they've legalized marijuana like they have. But 10 years ago, they say they would have said he was a rebel. He was a bad guy. Disassociate yourself because he's a drug addict. That's what they would have said.
You're right. You know, that's the perception. Yeah. And that's what the problem is that young Colin attached himself to something that he had a positive association with. I don't think that boy was smoking weed. I don't think he knew anything about Rastafari. I think that he looked at the hair and he wanted in. Yeah. Allen Iverson, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. The point I was making was just that it's unfortunate because we don't have someone that we can get behind. I can think of so many prestigious people that I actually know and people that are out there, but they aren't easily recognizable. So it's really hard to have that association. I just wanted to make that point because I saw it and it broke my heart. Probably the same thing y'all felt. You know, it was very innocent, right? On this side.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mom.
That hit, you know what I'm saying? That hit hard though, bro. Cause with me, I grew up in, born in Trinidad, moved to I moved to New Orleans and then we ended up moving to Mississippi, bro, into the Delta, Mississippi Delta, man. And I grew up around a whole lot of, you know what I'm saying, non-black people because that was the neighborhood that I lived in. And when I was playing baseball and everything, running track and everything, man, I had the cornrows in my head, man. You know what I'm saying? At the time, because I grew up in the era when AI was in the NBA. You know what I'm saying? Everybody wanted the cornrows then when AI was in the NBA. You know what I'm saying? That was just a thing in the neighborhoods or whatever, man. So I'm growing up and my coach was telling my mom and my dad, you know what I'm saying, that he didn't think the same way Colin was. He didn't think that perception was a good thing on me because he was looking at what if I want to go to a job interview and I got the cornrows in my head. And I'm looking at him like, what the hell does cornrows got to do with me going to get a job, man? But that's how they look at it. That's how they was looking at it at the time, because like you said, like D said, that was the perception on the movie screen that cornrows and all of that was a bad look.
Yeah, it was a bad thing. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know. Sometimes I think that maybe we built like we made like that. You know what I'm saying? When we do find something that we can call our own or something that we possess, we kind of maybe take it to the extreme, I guess, and vocalize it and showcase it and do too much with it. And then it creates a monster, you know what I'm saying? And whereas we looking at it like it ain't no big deal, it's just this, that, and the other. But everybody around us looking like either, wow, I got to have it, or, oh man, it's too much. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's kind of how I'd be looking at some of those situations, man, because, you know, like I say, I don't know how I would react if that was my child and they telling my kid he got to cut his hair in order to do something he loves.
Bobby, I don't know if anybody has ever experienced this, but like I said, in different environments, I think that classism, elitism, whatever you want to call it, is really prevalent. And there are black people that believe that hairstyles like these are feminine. And boys shouldn't have these type of hairstyles. Mo, you said you play baseball. You ever have a coach like that just don't want you to have it because of it don't look right?
Yeah, I had a coach like that. My track and baseball coaches like that.
Right.
They didn't understand it, man. That was the whole situation. They was purebred white people, man. They just didn't understand. You know what I'm saying? The culture at the time or whatever. You know what I'm saying? They was going by what they see on TV.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Instead of them coming up.
Demonization.
Can we get the perspective from like Gigi, has it ever been a time when you had your hair a certain kind of way and it was looked at like it's bad or something, you know what I'm saying? And you was told you had to change or you had to do something different with your hair?
No. No. And to be honest, it's probably, if I'm really like thinking about it pre like pandemic where I've been working from home, but I think I've always been cognizant of it without someone having to tell me that. Because prior to me being natural, I was, I had like curls, like and I worked in corporate. So I definitely was cognizant of certain hairstyles that I knew that I probably wouldn't have felt comfortable there either. And that was just being aware of my audience. But like once I removed myself from that, I realized that I was tailoring myself to make other people comfortable where, you know, like getting my hair done a certain way was, it was expensive.
Yeah, hey, that's, okay. That's real talk though. That's real
it's
talk.
It's expensive. And being natural is not cheap either. However, now when I'm ready to go back into the workforce, like I'm genuinely embracing my natural hair. Like it is what it is. Like your comfort doesn't change my beauty as well as my crown. So I'm just going to be great. But without them telling me, I've already assimilated without me even noticing that, to be honest, at that point.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question, Gigi?
Of course.
Do you think white men have a positive association with your hair? Like some white men, they're fascinated by your hair. They think it's the most gorgeous thing in the world.
And you know, like I want to say that that's what it sounds like, but women do that too. But it's like the one I want to touch it. Like I've been to bars that are predominantly white, and I've had people approach me wanting to touch my hair. I do not like that at all. I loathe
that.
None
of us like
that. Because it's like for me, it's like I'm like we're at a petting zoo now. You're just like, oh my gosh, I've never right. seen a long neck giraffe.
But that's a woman's perspective, again, right? Damn. The exact opposite of what damn a young male would experience.
Oh my god. Yeah. I don't think I would want nobody touching all on my damn scalp neither. I ain't with all
I mean,
that,
it depends
man.
On the situation. Let's bring it back. I mean, there might be moments where I was like, yes, I want you to touch it. Maybe you should pull it too. However, like in a situation where it's really casual and you just pulling up on me real quick, like, oh, can I touch it? It looks cool. Like, no,
my
thank
God,
you.
Bro.
And again, I can understand on the other side.
I almost had a flashback.
Man, you're right. She went from vice president to Dana Howard and
wait a minute.
Oh man, I love it. Y'all crazy as hell, man. All right, look, okay, so look, let's move on to the next one, man. All right, so episode two. All right, we got episode one, man. We really could do a whole episode on that, man, because a real talk, like it's a lot going on. I've seen a lot of videos online. I've seen a whole lot about young kids, you know, having to cut their hair and parents, you know, making a big deal about it by like going and getting lawyers and all that now. So that could be a whole nother episode, man, because that is like that is like taking culture away from an entire race by like you can't cut a Jamaican. You know, like I said, that could be a whole nother episode, man. So we're going to move on to episode two. Of the Colin Kaepernick documentary, man. Episode two was basically about him having his quarterback in dreams. And this is when he was in high school and he was a freshman and he was trying to play varsity ball. But the coach had seen the little white kid and was like, oh, we got our guy already. And he ended up having to play freshman ball, but he still ended up taking the freshman team to a conference, you know what I'm saying, and winning, so to a conference title. So I don't know, man, what I mean, like that, I think it is a lot of that type of favoritism / racism in sports, especially youth sports, high school sports. I don't know. I mean, B, I know you track football a lot. I know you like watching like the NFL and all that. You too, Mo. Like how do that, like, how did that make y'all feel, man? Like, because I'm a father, you know what I'm saying? And I was I'm an ex-football coach. And it kind of hit home with me because I know a few coaches that's like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
But you already know they start grooming these kids and pedigreeing these young men as young as like 13 and 14 years old. Like, they know at the university level who they want to groom and pursue by what they're doing in 8th, 9th, and 10th grade, yeah, which is why I really like the documentary, because it flows like that. You know, the first episode is really about his, you know, before high school, and then it rolls through. They know who they want and who they want to pursue, who they want to groom, and they call it intangibles when it's not athleticism. And Kaepernick experienced that. And in his defense, he had them little arms, right? He always looked like a small dude to me, but he is pretty stacked. You know what I mean? Like he's not as little or frail as he appears to be. And it shows his progression. In that second episode, you saw how all the hidden biases are kind of exposed. And I just thought it was really interesting because he got to work with Roger Theater. I think that is a part of the white privilege.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that definitely was part of the white privilege. Because if he would have been at a black school, he definitely wouldn't have been able
Exactly. Who that was. He thought he was talking about Roger from What's Happening.
You know what else though, Rob? Another thing about you know, when they look at us, man, like how they try to do Lamar Jackson, man. They looked at Lamar Jackson, they was like, you know what? You would be better off playing receiver in the NFL because you won't make it as a quarterback. Right. And he told him, no, I'm a quarterback. Right. And I'm gonna prove it to you that I am a quarterback. So when you an athlete like that, man, they don't look at you like that. They want you to play whatever position they want you to play. They don't look at you as a traditional drop back in the pocket quarterback, man. I can't tell you the last traditional in the pocket drop back quarterback black guy that we had was Warren Moon, bro.
Well, shit, that was a long time. Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute, Mo. Wait a minute. This ain't no sports show, man. We talking about the damn movie. Wait a minute.
No. I'm just saying that's how they perceive most black quarterbacks to be, not a in the pocket drop back quarterback. So
never mind. College, you hit it, Mo.
I know they did Michael Vick like that with the running. He was the prototype for the running quarterback. Well, actually, Randall Cunningham was. And then Donovan McNabb came after him.
Don't forget Slash. Don't forget Cordell Stewart, please.
But I'm talking about the 90s quarterbacks right now. You know what I'm saying? You know, like some of the prototype quarterbacks, man, because after they brought Randall Cunningham out.
But Doug Williams was the first to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he went in the pocket quarterback, though.
Right.
I'm just saying, what gets you results, right? We talking about Lamar Jackson. We talking about the current quarterback, because Josh Allen, I think, is one of those quarterbacks who's assumed to be under the center quarterback. But is he really, right? Ben Roethlisberger. Remember when he was black? Remember when he started his career?
Yeah.
He said, remember when he was.
I'm just saying, it's all about perception.
You hear me? I'm like, yeah. Hey, that boy crazy as hell. B crazy. Hey, but he be making, make good points, man. But
he really do.
But B crazy as hell, man. I don't know. Hey, man. I don't know, man. Look, all I know is that I've seen umpteen times where there's been coaches that have looked at like smaller, scrawnier white kids and said, he could be the next Peyton Manning. He could be the next, you know, Tom Brady, and have a stud standing right next to him. But because he's black, he'd rather put him at running back or put him at tight end. You know what I'm saying?
Receiver.
You're right. You know what I'm saying?
Switching the position out.
So I could see where in the episode where he played it to where he had him basically backing up the little white kid, because it happened like that all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, and me coaching, I used to even say that to some coaches sometimes, like, bro, why is you playing this little guy? You know what I'm saying? And he'd be like, man, he gonna be cold in the next year or two. We got to get him some practice. Like, come on, man. This game time. Get him some practice at practice. Like, like put our real quarterback in. You know what I'm saying?
That's how they be, man. You gotta look at, man. You gotta look at it like that, man. Some people don't see the underlying racism when it comes down to black and white quarterbacks, man. They don't see it like that.
Yeah.
Some people are like, oh man, they ain't being this, they ain't being. Man, come on, dude. Nobody blind, man. I can I can clearly see that, man. Come on, dog.
That's crazy.
If you can't see it, something wrong with you.
Right. That's crazy, man. All right, well, check it out, man. All right, so we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, man. We got episodes 3 through 6. We're going to run through those real quick. When we come back, we're going to jump into episode 3. That's the road trip, man. That's the one where he was in the baseball tournament. So let's take a quick break. We'll come right back with that.
I wake up, I go ball, I go hard with my dogs, bet it all, what's the call? Need a tan, never fall, polo socks, polo drawers, keep it tan, beat the odds, hit my line, what you want, I pick up, yeah. Love when the celly gon' ring, I'm putting on my team, money come flowing, no sink, spring, 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 double cup, cup my drink, love my little baby, no leak, I be counting money, no sheet, I can tool it up in my sleep. Shorty's hot chain when the money came. Money bad, here I'm getting money back. Need a money counter for the money, ayy. Know I need you here, so don't you run away. Mathematics act like a nerd. I be counting 30 by the third. Drop top doors, go vert. SRT, go skirt. Lately like a bull been seeing. I handle the business, then I get love in Europe even. Ball so hard, I used to play. I'm never giving up. Do roll like a semi-truck. Say what I'm saying, yeah, you're a paranoid.
All right, man, we back. It's the big homie, Bobby Dollars, and I'm back with the big homies, man. I got my girl Gigi in here, got the big homie Mo, got Chubby Eldris Elba, and you know me, man, Bobby D. Hey, we in here talking about the Colin Kaepernick documentary, man. It's crazy the way things... I mean, when you get a perspective from the actual individual, it get crazy, man. So when we left off, we were starting on episode 3. This was the road trip, man, when he was actually taking the baseball tournaments, and him and his parents was in the car riding around. His dad like kept making him listen to the same victory song over and over and over. And his mom kept busting in the door every morning, like game day. And oh my God, it was horrible. And to me anyway, it was, because you know, you gotta let people wake up and get into the groove of things on their own. But that, and then all the racism in the hotel, he couldn't get the seconds on the food. Like, man, did y'all see all of this stuff, man, or was I the only one tripping off of this?
Absolutely. I wrote down for this episode specifically that resistance is futile in his situation. It was like, I understood the mom. I understood why she was excited, because he was excited the first week too. The only reason why, obviously, we saw his feelings and how they changed was his experiences every time he was going out. So it wasn't even like the game in itself. Well, sometimes it was the game, but it was just his experiences. I feel like we've all at some point may even have felt that way. Even when it came to my hair, like the idea that I already knew going into a corporate setting that there was a certain look or a certain way that I needed to be in order for me to get to certain positions because of how, you know, they perceived it at one point. I definitely understood that.
I've experienced this before. When I was in high school, I had gold braces. I was a big kid. And I used to have to go out of town with my white classmates. And this is absolutely accurate.
I grew up, man. I don't know, man. That is crazy to me, because I grew up in the hood, of course. Like, I grew up in the city, but my mom lived in the county. So, like, I was in Wellston, but my mom was in Maplewood. And she lived in Maplewood my whole life. So I was catching the Bi-State bus, or catching the Metro bus or whatever, from my grandfather's them house on the west side out to Maplewood. And I was going to school and everything, you know what I'm saying, out there with all the white kids. And I had a white homeboy named Gary James and shit. Like, I mean, it's like I was experiencing both worlds, but I never changed who I was. So whether I was hood or whether I was thuggish or whatever I was still at a white school, learning the same way they was, making the same grades they was making. You know what I'm saying?
But you never had the code switch.
Nah, man, I've been the same dude, man. I guess that's the reason why I got white friends now and I got black friends, and everybody say the same thing about me. Everybody you talk to say, nah, I respect OG, he cool, because I treat everybody the same. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't be tripping off all that. I don't know why, man. I just don't. I don't trip off of it. Like, I know racism is prominent, and I done been, man, I motherfuckers done said some racist shit to me. You already know that. Like, it's been real, you know what I'm saying? But I just never trip off of that, because I always have heard older black men say, if it wasn't for the white man, if it wasn't for the white man. And I never wanted to fall into that stereotype. I ain't want to be a part of that trap. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So, I have a question about emotional intelligence for everybody. Do you think that maybe people are too sensitive in their emotional intelligence when they code switch? Or do you think that there's a lack of emotional intelligence or naivete, thinking that you will be perceived the same in all environments? That's kind of a loaded question.
I think it's on based off your excuse me. I think it is based off of your upbringing, yes, and your environment. Because if you are predominantly in situations where people that look like you, you're not really ever worrying about ever having to be anyone else. But when you are in an environment where it's already programmed that, hey, I need you to be this way, or I need you to be quiet, like, you start realizing that in certain situations, because you've been reprimanded at some point, that you have to be this certain way. But I think it just depends on how you grew up, to be honest with you. And as you get older, you realize, like, fuck that.
Yeah. Not mm-hmm. yeah.
Well, I want to hear y'all, and I got one more thing I'm going to stop. What you think, Mo?
Yeah, man. I think it's people are more naive about it, man. You know, like you were saying, it's really about your upbringing, man. You have to, what they call it, get in where you fit in.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? So, it's, you know, man, growing up, I always seen a lot of black guys in my neighborhood or whatever. When we was going to school or whatever, they used to try to act white. And I don't know how the hell you act white. But my folks used to always say, you acting, you know what I'm saying? You got people that act white. I'm like,
act white, talk white. Yep. You're right.
I'm like, how am I acting white if I'm using proper English, man? That's not acting white. That's me being a human being, man. Yeah. You got to use proper English in certain situations, man. You know, when you get around certain people, you want to, you know what I'm saying, be that way. You don't want to be around the CEO of a company and be like, you know what I'm saying, man? You know, I gotta do this shit here, and like, you want to make sure you're using the proper lingo when you're around certain people. You never know.
And that's upbringing. And because at that point, if you were still saying what's up, man, you were still able to bring money to this company, it shouldn't even matter. You're able to communicate with me and we're able to communicate, that should be cool. But because I need you to feel comfortable, I now have to say hello and speak with a certain tone. So then now you can realize I have money.
There it go, right there. Gigi just said it. It's the comfort zone. This is what the whole episode 3 was about. And I was waiting to see if anybody, that's why I wasn't saying anything, because I was waiting to see if anybody was going to pick up on that, man. Y'all know I always say, man, I look at all the logical standpoints of everything. And that's the whole factor. It's the comfort zone, because when they was in that baseball tournament and every bad experience that he had, just like Gigi said before, was because it was discomfort for the white people. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was doing nothing. He was just minding his business, or he was just playing basketball. He just ran in the elevator behind his mom and dad. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was just minding his business, basically. And every time one of the white people felt uncomfortable, it's, or who are you here with? Why are you here? Where are your parents? What are you doing? You know, like, damn, like, why you got a question, look at, and get all on him? You know what I'm saying? Because you feel like he ain't supposed to be around. So, yeah, I agree, Gigi. That was a great point, because it's just like, it's all about your comfort zone, man. And if you in a big business like me, man, I got my own business, and I want you to be comfortable when you're around me. Yeah, I want you to keep some professionalism, because that's what it's all about. It's business. But at the same time, yeah, man, don't become a character around me. You know what I'm saying? Be yourself, but at the same time, be a better you. You know what I'm saying?
Don't act fake around me, man. No, bro. Don't need fake stuff going on, man.
What y'all think of the interaction between the corporate white man and the brother with the locks at 16 and a half minutes of episode 3? Because that's exactly what we're talking about.
That's the dealings. That's the dealings. That's what we're dealing with every day, man. Like with the kids right now playing sports in the white schools and stuff, with the predominantly white businesses, man. Like that's what we're dealing with. You know, that was right in your face. Shit, that was what they say, hide it in the obvious. Shit, that was it right there. So that was a great. That was good that they addressed it, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Did you guys also notice that, like, when he first, like, throughout the weeks that his outfits changed, when it came from, like, he was just wearing regular clothes to him, then wearing, like, the school uniform to, like, let them know that I'm a part of this baseball team, and then to, like, this whole different attire, like, he was Carlton from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh yeah, I did notice that, man.
Like he was just trying to show them, like, I belong here, and they still found a way.
Remember when he met the black players? And they was like, why homie pants tucked in so tight?
Yeah. Hey, that kind of reminded me of what's the one dance movie with Omarion and Marcus Houston? You got served. Hey, I thought they were gonna break out dancing for a few. Never mind, man. It's cool, man. Never mind. You know, that's what's up, man.
Wait, before we have to pay homage to the acceptable Negro in this episode, I listed a few that popped up. I'm not sure if you guys keep that, where they talk about Marcus Garvey, Ida B. Wells, James Baldwin, Patrice Lumumba.
Yeah, I did see all of that.
Steve Biko.
Yeah.
So, shout out to them.
I noticed all of that in that movie, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, they did their thing, man. Like, I appreciate the movie, to be honest. That's why I even wanted to do an episode on it, man. So, you know what, Rob, though?
Do you know the guy, I don't know if you know Jason Whitlock.
KC.
That guy, man, he cannot stand Colin Kaepernick. So I seen an interview that he did, man, and he was like, yeah, man, the series is trash. It was this, it was that. I'm like, bruh, the reason why you saying that is because you want to please white America, and you was very adamant when Colin Kaepernick was doing his kneeling thing that you don't think he should be in the NFL and this and that. But at the same time, you kissing ass, man. We know exactly what you doing. Yeah. We know that's how you feel. So why are you bashing the man, the series that the man got out or whatever, man? We already knew when you had something to say about it, what it was going to be. I already knew it was going to be some negative shit, man.
Well, you know, man, hey, I always say, man, you just got to let people be people, bro. You can't stop that. You can't stop that. That's the way it is, man. Hey, okay, so, all right, so that was episode 3, man, with the tournaments and everything. That was another dealings that you had to go through when that was a hard rock, man. Like, that was a little bit more. What they say, when you bite off more than you can chew, you know, that was a little bit more, man, when you young like that, and it's right in your face like that, man. That's crazy. But episode 4, man, another one that was kind of important, you know what I'm saying? Because that was the one where he was trying to get his football scholarship, but everybody was trying to talk him into baseball, and his baseball coach was relentless, man. Like, he just was... Man, he wouldn't leave little homie alone. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jesus, let little dude live. He say he want to be a quarterback. Like, he got the baseball thing in the bag. Every school want him. Even if he decided to make a last minute decision, he still have about 10 schools. You know what I'm saying? But he wanted to try for football. And I think that's kind of where a lot of the depression and all that kind of stuff and the mental health play his part, man, because when you're trying to force somebody to do something that they don't really want to do, they ain't gonna never be happy. You know what I'm saying?
I think it gave. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Okay.
It just gave a little perspective, a little contrast. Obviously, everybody wanted Colin to be that baseball player. They wanted him to be that clean-cut, all-American baseball playing kid. And he really had a passion for football.
Right,
I just think it kind of highlighted up.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the episode.
I also think that, especially like him growing up, and he saw that he basically assimilated to everything that they wanted him to do, whether it's sports, whether it was school, whether it was what he had to do with his hair, and that for the first time, it was something that he wanted to do, and he wanted to like be adamant about it. So once I saw that, and I saw his resilience, that although he could have took the easy way, he believed in himself enough to know that he was going to be a quarterback.
Yeah.
Yep, that's true. That they was... definitely, man, they was riding him, man, to become, you know what I'm saying, to do baseball. They was throwing him all these different incentives and all of this. I don't supposed to do this. I could get in trouble for it, but, you know, we're going to give you this.
All of
and you know what I'm saying? So I'm looking at it like, okay, man, y'all, you pretty much forcing baseball down this man's throat when he already said that, you know, that's not what he want to do. He want to be a quarterback. He want to do. He kept telling them, "I want to be a quarterback. I'm gonna be a quarterback. I'm gonna get a quarterback scholarship." Yeah. And but they didn't want to hear that though, man. It was like, "No, you need to." And then the guy from the Cubs, when he turned that down, he was hard. Yeah.
He was serious when he did that though. He was serious.
Yeah.
Did y'all notice that he shaved that little crustache from episode 3 when he got to episode 4? Remember how they was calling him a man in episode 3 and he had that little ugly little barely there mustache?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he made his decision.
I liked it.
And became a man.
Yeah. He made some man ass decisions. I tell you that. That was crazy, man. Well, so in episode 4, man, I think it was just too much pressure, man. I think, you know, they always, nowadays the youngsters say apply pressure, but if you apply pressure, then shit is too much for their ass. I don't know, man. Like, it's, I don't know. It was just too much pressure from his baseball coach. You know, his mom really didn't want him to play football for real. She wanted him to take that contract. That's what she wanted for real, because she was ready to do a little different kind of living. Dad didn't care either way because he knew the boy was talented, you know, but I don't know. I just didn't like the way it all turned out with that baseball. They would not leave that little guy alone, man, and that was just too much pressure. It really was.
I think it also just plays into the idea of that this is how it works. Like, once, knowing that if they're looking at you already in the 8th grade, and of course, as you're in high school, they're either going to try to get you into a draft or get you already signed up for college by your sophomore, junior year, so they can start, you know, I want to say training you, or, you know what I'm saying, vetting you, getting you ready. So that made sense to me that they were applying pressure.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I tell you what, man, the next episode that we finna go over, very, very important episode, blew my mind. I'm not going to lie. I was like, wow, man, like, I was like, damn. I don't know. It was crazy. But we're talking episode 5. Episode 5 was called Crystal. This is where he met the young black lady, the little young black girl, and saw his future. He wanted her. He wanted to be with her. He was falling in love with her, man. And then things changed, of course. But how did it make you feel, Gigi, as a black woman, to see how his mom was like kind of like pushing her away and trying to, you know, get him to date the white girl, and then hearing the little homies calling up blue black and all that kind of stuff? Like, how did that make you feel?
That I was dealing with an ignorant family who, just like the prototype of the coach who saw the young white boy that had 2 boxes checked off out of the 5 that Colin had, that you see beauty in yourself, right? And if you don't, and if you're not experiencing anything outside of yourself, then you're only going to be able to see the beauty in yourself and others. So right. Seeing a woman that did not look like myself, and I'm his mother, I should be that apple of eye. Something that's similar to me is what my son should like. And that's for any other color of culture. I mean, and that's just a given, you know, because you grow up, you raise your son, and I'm his mother, and he should love a woman that looks like me initially. Now, if you don't, then that's great too. But again, this is the same family that a woman said that I want one of those. Like, you adopted a black kid. Look at you. God bless you. Like, that is a insult to me. But to them, like, okay, thank you. You know what? Thank you. Right. Instead of saying, like, instead of cursing them out, which didn't make any sense to me. Yeah. So it was really insulting to know that the one black boy that was darker than the whole team was calling another woman blue black. But then at the same time, I realized that he was probably going through his own traumas where he was being called that. And so he couldn't see beauty within himself because no one gave him that. He's surrounded about all these white people who only like white people. So the best thing for him to do to assimilate is to like a white girl too. So it was definitely heartbreaking, but understanding the environment that they all grew up in was understanding, unacceptable, but understanding.
Yeah,
Gigi, I don't know. I don't know how often you've observed this, but I can tell you that it is so real. I don't know if it's self-hatred. I don't know what it really is, but but like I said, I went to one of these schools and not a single one of my quote air quotes black friends from this environment has ended with a black woman. They absolutely never saw beauty on that side. And I don't know if this is a story that's not told often or often enough, but it's very real. Like I was saying, like I grew up with little black girls. You go to their house, their mama don't make fried chicken. They don't believe in fried chicken. All the things that we know to be, like you were saying, when you go to the house and you get to eat the meal, that's not the case. Right. And that's not a story that's really told in the mainstream, because you can look on my Facebook, you can look at my social media. They're all in interracial relationships. And it's not desired, because that's not beautiful. You're too black. You probably have to get a white girl to dilute that so you can have a pretty thing. Right?
Like it said in the episode, the Carlton type of black guy, when they show Carlton dancing and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, the straight out of the hood niggas too. Like, they don't appreciate black women anymore because they're in a new situation. And it comes really quick to start shitting on black women because that's not the object of beauty. Sports teams, like I said, that's been my experience in a lot of locker rooms, right? Where, you know, I'm already black enough. Why do I want a black guy? I want my baby to be pretty, right? That's the dialogue that I've encountered a lot. And then I think in that episode, he talks about the doll test, where we get all these white constructs of beauty. It's deeply, deeply embedded in us.
I can agree with that, man. It's crazy, man. It kind of make you feel like it was a lot of hidden meanings in all these episodes, man. Like,
absolutely.
When you actually look at them and you go back and look at them again, or, you know, when we talk about them and kind of dissect them a little bit, you kind of see the purpose behind it all.
That's true. You know what I'm really saying? It's crazy, man. It's crazy that you got that you got people out here that think like that, man, and it's in situations like that, man, that black is not beautiful. You don't see the beauty in your own skin color. You got to go to the next person in order to feel like you beautiful. Like, nah, man, that's not it.
Right.
We got to get past that, man. Eventually we will, bro.
Yeah, it'll happen, man. But you know, acceptance has to be happening through generations. Yeah, like it's got to be a generational thing with acceptance, man. It can't just be one or two different people. It's got to be everybody. You know what I'm saying? For it to really work. Yeah. So that's what it is, man. So all right. So last episode, man. Episode 6. Before we get out of here, man. After everything that he did, he poured his whole heart into all that he had within the football realm of his sports life. He finally made it, and Nevada called him, and he finally got an opportunity to do what his dream was, and that was to play college football as a quarterback. Like, that was a feel good story for me, man. Like, did it make y'all feel good to see him actually be able to after all of that to be able to come out doing what it was he really wanted to do from the jump?
Yeah, man, that made me feel real good, man, because I'm like, okay, he achieved his dream, his goal. That's exactly what he wanted. He wanted to play college football, and he got the call to play college football and as a quarterback. Yeah. Not switching my position to receiver or kick returner or some crap like that, but you calling me to actually play quarterback for your team, and I can make a difference. You know what I'm saying?
That's what's up.
I love that he was with the hard coach, because that was the one that was cursing and he was hard on him.
Yeah.
I think that showed the transition, because maybe he was held back because he was trying to fit that cookie cutter image. He was trying to be that All-American Stanford, USC, Cal quarterback. Yeah. And, you know, he had to go about it a different route.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
You got to have that coach that's in your ass. That's the only way you're going to really be able to get it up out of you, man, is if you own me and I'm messing up. Oh, yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to try to keep you up off of me by not messing up. You feel me? So, nah, man. People need coaches like that, man. And that's what's going on.
You want to that victory Christian music he was listening to, like Christian rock. You know what I mean?
He's like Christian rock. Yeah,
I didn't hear that song before.
That's a banger.
You want to keep your position, then shit, you better do it like you're supposed to. That's what's up, man.
What you think, Gigi?
I also love the idea that, like, although we saw, like, the dynamics of his family, you saw them all come together when it came to, like, making the tapes and sending it out to the schools. I love that part. So I was like, at some point, I was like, I don't know how you stayed in this family this long. I didn't know how you could make it. But then you saw that, like, there was support there. Like, everybody came together and they helped them. And I love that even when it came down to him getting that football scholarship, like, he was playing basketball. Yeah. He wasn't even playing football. And they still saw the skill set in him. And it also kind of brings back the white stamp of approval, because it was like someone else not even really looking for him had to put in the call to make sure, like, Nevada, you still got a quarterback or not?
Right.
And they're like, no, we don't have him. Well, I have someone for you, which also brings it back. Like, he may not always be, which I liked his quote was, although he wasn't the first choice, he was the right choice.
And Right.
Shout out to him.
And that's what it takes, man. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do to get everything you're looking for. So that's what's up, man. I appreciate that. Hey, this was a good episode for me, man. I can't believe we actually all sat down and watched this show and talked about it. That is crazy as hell. That is crazy.
Man.
Hey, that's what's up, man. Well, Gigi, we want to welcome you in, girl. Good job. You did your thing today, man. You know what I'm saying? You know.
Oh, yeah.
Big homie Gigi. Can't believe it. All right. Well, that's what's up, man. Hey, you know what I'm saying? It's love out this way, man. And if you didn't get an opportunity to check the show out, man, it's on Netflix. Check it out. I ain't get paid to say that. I just did. And I want to thank the homies, man. I want to thank the big homies, man. Big homie Mo. You know what I'm saying? Big homie Gigi. Big homie Chubby Eldris Elba. Hey, man, y'all tell them how to find y'all so we can get on out of here.
Man, you can find me on Twitter. Ooh. Oh, well, go
damn,
ahead.
Everybody talked at once.
ladies first. Right. Let me get the room. My bad, mom. You know,
do your thing.
You can find me on Twitter, y'all, at GCarly7. That's GQARLY and the number 7. Looking forward to following you as much as you following me.
Hey, I heard that. That was kind of, wasn't that kind of flirtatious and shit?
Hey.
Cut out. I'm like, OnlyFans. Don't get me hype.
Oh, my God, man. All right, Mo, go ahead, man. She flirting on the
line. Find me on Twitter, man, at
Damn, they can't find you nowhere. What happened to the mic?
Hold on. You can find me on Twitter at PHAMILY357 underscore, and Snapchat TriniBoy357, man.
That's what's up,
man. Y'all can find me online on all platforms. The name is pronounced Handsome, at Chubby Idris Elba. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, SoundCloud. We got the vlog going on YouTube, TikTok coming with it. I really appreciate being a part of this panel, and I look forward to anybody that's going to follow projects I'm working on in the future.
That's what's up, man. We appreciate your time, homeboy. Hey, and you know me, man. It's the big homie, Bobby Dollars, and you can catch me at BobbyDollarShow.com, Bobby Dollar Show everywhere you listen to your favorite podcast. Hey, it's been a wonderful show, man. I thank everybody for coming up, man, showing up, showing out today. Again, man, hey, it's the big homie, and this has been the Bobby Dollar Show.